I haven't read, I must confess, to a kind of laziness. I haven't read what is apparently a very impressive, fairly multi-page report by Judge Kathy Satchwell and her two assistants about media credibility and ethics. And I did read Adrian Besson's take on it, and something which gave me a quiet little chuckle was that he describes one of her assistants, Nikiwe Bikicha, as veteran journalist. And I gave Nikiwe Bikicha her very first job in journalism when I set up Eyewitness News in Cape Town at the launch of Cape Talk in 1997. Prior to that, she had no work experience at all. And of course, I have no trouble believing that the very young and obviously talented woman that I gave a job to would rise far in the profession. But Adrian, it was a bit weird hearing you describe her. Then I thought, what the heck am I?
I'm not going to venture into giving you a title, John. I'll leave that to you or your listeners.
Okay, what comes after veteran? Is vintage before veteran or after? I'm not sure. Look,
vintage,
I mean,
is nice, yes.
Yeah, hey, we're a bunch of rogues and scoundrels, except not all of us.
Yeah, I mean, John, it's you know, we as the media, I sometimes feel like we're not looking enough at ourselves, and sometimes it almost feels like we're navel-gazing too much. But I think we're going to go through a period now where we have to reflect on the past decade of what has happened in the media. And of course, we were not untouched by the era of state capture, the decade of state capture, or the lost decade, as it's now popularly called. And I think this report by Judge Satchwell and her two veteran assistants or panelists give us a good start to have that discussion, and there's some really bad stuff in there.
Are we going to have a discussion? I'd be surprised if we did. I agree with you that we should, because I think there are many structural and systemic flaws in the way that news is reported in South Africa, and then there are many operational inadequacies beyond that. But you know, we're all so understandably consumed with actually doing the job of producing the news that we very seldom have the time and the opportunity, the resources, the space to step back and ask questions which can lead to answers which can change things for the better.
Yeah, just the luxury to think, eh, and to reflect. I think, look, it's not a secret that the media is going through massive disruption locally and globally. Not all of us will survive. Hopefully most of us will, and hopefully the good ones will. I think what shocked me about the report was the blatant interference by management at some media houses that I honestly didn't realize what's happening. I mean, I've been privileged that it's never happened to me, but now I know of many colleagues that it's happened to. And you're asking if we will talk about it. We've spoken a lot, John. If you just think about all the stories, debates around Iqbal Survey and the Independent Group over the past few years after he had purchased that group, there's a lot been spoken about. There's books been written by Alida Dunois and Chris Whitfield. But will stuff change? Will the PIC eventually move against Iqbal Survey? I mean, I think that is the unanswered question. And what happens next to a group like the Independent Group that still serves thousands of South Africans with media every day? I think that is where the discussion should go.
But it's difficult for us to have that discussion because they are competitors of ours, and it might be quite difficult for people to see that we are genuinely concerned about being part of a media environment which has greater respect and trust from the public when we're knocking our competitors and kind of skating over accusations that might be made against us.
Look, I think that's a fair comment, but I do think there's a space for interest in the sustainability and the future of all media, and that's what SANEF, of which I'm the deputy chairperson, is championing. We hope that this report will contribute to discussions around the longevity of media, the sustainable business models of media, how management interference looks in the future.
Yeah. So, I mean, I do think that independent remains a terrible blot on our landscape. We've still got journalists who were responsible for the Sunday Times reporting on the rogue unit, which has bedeviled so many careers and created so much wrong in the relationship between the tax authorities and citizens and people in the tax authority and money getting into the fiscus. And they are still peddling the same lies and defending the lies that they told then, you know, despite the group which has distanced itself from the reporting of that time being asked to, you know, to make a full-on apologia. And, yeah.
Look, I think there's, you know, at the end of the day, the readers will also decide. Readers and listeners aren't stupid. They know what's going on, and they can see that the quality of certain publications have dropped, and that's why you see the circulation that you see today for the independent group's newspapers. It doesn't give me any joy. It's not good for the country and for democracy if newspapers and news publications or websites go under, or if there's less jobs for journalists. But, you know, a TV station like ANN7 did not promote the public good, was not doing journalism in the public interest. And that's why, you know, nobody's crying any tears over that disappearing. And I think, you know, one has to have that debate. And ultimately, readers will stop supporting, I believe, rogue media. I think what was for me, you know, quite an eye-opener was to see, and this is probably also hangs with the financial state of the media, is how certain managers at media houses believe that they can now just walk into a newsroom or into an editor's office or call them and you know, tell them what to do in terms of columnists, in terms of camera shots, etc. And if something good can come from this report, I hope that, you know, media owners get a bit of a shock and realize that cannot continue.
Yeah, and the SABC and Shladi Motsoeneng features prominently in the report, as you know, as is entirely understandable, because I mean, to me, that is the most critical thing that needs to be got right, and I know that a properly functioning public broadcaster would be a huge threat to the job that I do in commercial radio, because they have. Ideally, they would have the resources to do reporting of a depth and a quality and a level of insight, which in commercial radio simply don't have the resources to do. But I really do think that if we talk about journalism being a contributor to public good, then the most important thing that we have to get right is the SABC.
And we've tried, and I mean, we've been around this block so many times, and just now, a few minutes ago, a colleague actually sent me a clip of a senior editor at the SABC saying that the newsroom has basically come to a standstill and that there's no journalists in the newsroom anymore. I mean, that's terrible. It's a terrible, disgraceful moment. As you correctly say, the public broadcaster is incredibly important, not only for the reasons you mentioned, but also because they are the only one with the resources and the scale to broadcast in all the national languages of South Africa. No private media company at this moment in time has the finances to invest in new languages. I mean, they can't even properly invest in English newsrooms. So I think, you know, that is a critical role that was also highlighted by Judge Satchel in a report.
Adrian Besson, editor of News 24, thanks very much for talking to us this afternoon.